Ideas. I like ideas. I think the Bible is full of them. I collect them. I don't even have to feel a given idea has any great merit in order to hear it, try to understand it, and try to get some kind of a handle on who thinks that way and what that's all about. Then I maintain a bit of familiarity with that idea being around until I encounter it again. I think of who and what sort of people liked it. I remember how they defended liking it. I keep track of who and what sort of people hate that idea, and how they defend not liking it. Because ideas never really die. Each idea you encounter, no matter how smart or how stupid, is just going to keep cropping up here and there for the rest of your life. Ideas are spiritual. Might as well get to know them so you can keep from tripping over them in the dark every single decade and getting mad every single time like it's a piece of your kid's Lego. Have a place in your head where all of that goes. Put that stuff on a shelf somewhere. I've seen some very strong, good ideas held by some very weak, bad people doing weak, bad things with said ideas riding shotgun or driving the getaway car. And I've seen the opposite. The attitude or spirit with which a person clings to a given idea seems almost as important as what the idea actually even is. It would be nice to think that if you cling to good ideas, they'll make you good, or that only bad people cling to dubious ones. But I don't think that's the world we live in. How and why matter as much as what sometimes. I don't think ideas are like facts. Facts are inorganic. Facts just sit there. I think ideas are more alive, changeable, and useful than facts. The Bible is alive because it has ideas in it and because it presents and connects us with a living Jesus. Ideas don't lie down and wait for you to decide to build stuff with them. If you won't take advantage of an idea, the idea will soon enough find someone else who will. They have energy. And I think ideas take some thinking in order to decide how to respond to them in one's own life. In fact, I think when the brain looks at facts, it generally can't avoid coming up with ideas. I think that thinking involves actively having ideas, rather than passively taking in facts. And I think thinking is good. An unpopular opinion in some circles, I realize. I grew up in those circles, at meeting and outside of it. Case in point, to this day, I can't use the very word idea on a Brethren forum online without incurring something along the lines of,
Mike, was wondering a little about your use of the word ideas. Remember, our ideas are worth nothing. God's word is everything. We follow the truth, not ideas. Let us spend time on what the Bible tells us, rather than our own flawed human understanding.
And then, of course, that person invariably delivers some fairly flawed, clearly human understanding of something, slaps some scripture scraps all over their ideas, and says it's not them, but God talking, so you'd best agree, you'd best obey, or you know what that makes you. Thing is, you can't obey ideas. You can't even obey facts. I don't obey gravity. I don't obey digestion or biochemistry. It's more of an interaction thing. There is give and take, and the Bible isn't just full of directives. There are a whole lot of ideas in there. If you skip past all that, looking for things to obey, you're going to miss an awful lot of very important stuff. And if you are determined to try to turn ideas in the Bible into directives, rules, or guidelines, you might have to kill them to do it, in order to tame them, to make them sit still. I often also get,
Mike, I've read through a number of your own lengthy opinions. What I would like to see now is for you to speak directly from the divinely inspired Word of God, brother. Our own ideas are not worth pondering or sharing with others. He is Lord.
Then things go south. I explain that I am not claiming to be doing anything more than sharing my thoughts and feelings. I point out that none of us are doing anything more than that at all. I admit that these thoughts and feelings of mine are partly inspired and informed by a lifetime of reading the Bible and praying and living my life. I mention, however, that they do not in any way represent me claiming to speak for God or to know precisely what God has to say about, for example, YouTube, drone strikes, or gluten. By this point, a number of online Christians have decided that we can't be Facebook friends anymore, because the Bible is so clear, isn't it? So simple. We just have to obey it. But as I've said, you can't obey ideas, and the Bible is positively full of them. it causes them to, more often than it answers anything I've found. The Bible discussion style, as I've experienced it online, seems to involve trying to out-solemn each other and be stiffly offended at more things than anyone else, to be more dire and more worried and to give more corrections and warnings, all the while quoting chunks of Bible without explaining what one sees there. There's this idea that I see over and over. If I quote a bunch of the Bible to you without comment, if you will simply read what I'm quoting without my telling you what I think it means, you will, of course, immediately see exactly what I see and think exactly what I think. Because it's the Bible. Unless, of course, you're unlearned, disobedient, and foolish and inattentive to Scripture. I've had people unfriend me on Facebook because I've spoken on a topic, referring in general terms to chapters or books or themes running through the writings of Paul, but refused to decorate my posts with a bunch of scripture scraps. I quote an awful lot, but in a casual way, without chapter and versing, and without pretending the Bible proves I'm right. I try to address recurring threads and themes, not just isolated phrases. And that's not cool, apparently. Doesn't count as talking about the Bible, stinketh in their nostrils. Even when I explain that I think it would be dishonest and irreverent to pretend the scripture outright says the stuff I come up with after I had read it, that's not good enough for a lot of people, and their countenance falls. But honestly, I feel that grabbing a bunch of out-of-context Bible phrases from all over the Old and New Testaments, proof texting, is dishonest, actually misleading. I think more humility and personal ownership of and accountability for our own traditions, ideas, and interpretations needs to be shown. But that often doesn't happen. George has read the Bible. Tim has read the Bible. George thinks he's supposed to baptize his infant children. Tim thinks he should let his kids choose to baptize themselves when they're old enough. Tim has read the Bible. George has read the Bible. They see this matter differently. Then, no fruit of the Spirit goes on here. George and Tim have a big argument, shouting, "Read it!" at each other. "No! Read it again! Properly! Think harder! Listen to what it says better!" And then decide they can't worship together anymore. Their kids suddenly aren't allowed to play together either, because Tim's kids aren't even baptized, and because George's kids are. I think doing a whole lot of proof texting is nonsense. Referring to the Bible to show why you think something is one thing. Saying the Bible is telling someone else not to think differently from you is quite another. Because otherwise I can say, Psalm 14 verse 1 says, "There is no God, so there isn't one." And when someone disagrees, I can angrily accuse them of disagreeing with Scripture. I have purposely chosen a really obvious example of bad proof texting there, in which the quoter is skipping the words, "The fool hath said in his heart." But I could use the scripture to argue absolutely anything. I really could. It's not hard, if you're inventive or unprincipled or insane. The Taylor Hales exclusives use scripture to prove that God requires everyone to keep hard liquor in the house for visiting elders and also not to keep any pets. And thousands of Taylor Hale EBs across the globe duly comply. They buy whiskey for the elders and refuse kittens to their kids and put the family dog to sleep because of the Bible. It's so clear in there, so simple. Only an unbeliever wouldn't see that, wouldn't see the emperor's new rules. You're not an unbeliever, are you? Due to this kind of thing, I feel we need to stop pretending that our own interpretations of the scriptures are anything loftier or more divine than interpretations. We hope we read with a good spirit and intelligence and empathy, and without a personal agenda blinding us and with the Holy Spirit being involved, we hope that. But to many, the Bible is a magic tome which tells you to think like them, if only you pay enough attention to it, if you really read it. In fact, if I in any way describe the Bible as a book online, or refer to it as the scriptures instead of the word of God, I am going to get,
"Mike, the Bible is the book, the inspired word of God. It is not just a book."
Even if I don't use the word just, I am going to be thought a heretic and get unfriended. Man, heaven's going to be awkward. Unjust. I have grown very suspicious of people who use the word just a lot. It's a verbal lubricant. So often they're trying to just slide something past you without you getting a close look at it. It started with the first girl who didn't ever want to talk to me or hang out anymore, suggesting that the very best thing in the world was for us to be just friends and not ruin a good friendship. Not that we were friends at all. In that case, just meant not. It continued on through people who said, why can't you two just get along when someone was messing with someone else? On to comments like, it's just wrong, or I just want to live my life. Why can't you just fit in? It's just my opinion. I have always wanted to have a close look and a bit of a conversation about any word or idea that gets lubricated with just before it, so as to slip it on past like that. Why can't you just believe the word of God? Why can't you just put aside your own beliefs and just accept the truth? I've also always been suspicious of people of one idea, of people who say that life or the Bible or something equally important and widespread and complicated is all about one thing. Tolerance, for instance. Life? It's all about tolerance. The Bible? It's all about obedience. Nothing else. Hebrews? It's all about repentance. They'll put their pet idea on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or inspirational poster and then act like they've done all the necessary thinking about it and are now done thinking about it. So when I hear, it's all about whatever, I tend to hear, my brain is off. I'm done thinking and learning. Mission accomplished. And I always want to say, you realize that saying you've raised awareness of tolerance or that you support tolerance and putting the word on your wall or across your chest doesn't prove that you understand the first thing about it? I also want to point out that it's very easy to claim to take a position, but very complicated to have your life change as a result. Change in such a way that now your world changes, in ways that run deeper than that glossy poster stock or cotton polyester blend t-shirt. It's one thing to cheer for an idea and wear the jersey for it, and it's another thing to play for the team and try to actually win. I understand that some people believe in sports, so I may be found employing sports metaphors in an attempt to communicate with them. I'm hoping it will help them hang 10 and get touchdowns and stay on base instead of being out in left field half-cocked. Is life about tolerance? Probably, but it's also about other things too, right? Life can be about more than one thing. Is life, for instance, also about things like finding ways to reconcile the tension between, on the one hand, tolerating who and what you can, and on the other, realizing that there are people, ideas, situations, practices, and things in this world which are really not okay and which we are going to flat out oppose. I guess that's not going to fit on a t-shirt. And I think the Bible's like that too. I realize I'm just making things complicated. I know too that deciding that tolerance is pretty keen or that everything in the Bible is about obedience isn't probably going to hurt anything. I do think, though, that if you don't actually have to change as the result of your appreciation for the idea, if you don't have to think and feel and live differently to try to improve things, if you don't find that things get complicated when you do this, that this is what we call lip service. It's a token gesture. It doesn't do anything. It's not worth the money you spent on the t-shirt. If you spent it hoping to change the world in any way besides making people think that you support tolerance and notice how aware you are being about it. I've been told marriage is all about sacrifice, or relationships are all about compromise. Some of the women who've told me this have been horribly damaged and abused, and have been saying those things to argue that they should not remove themselves from really spiritually toxic, sometimes physically dangerous situations. Or they've been trying to stop being themselves and instead be the imaginary person they believe the man in question would prefer to marry. So I'm particularly suspicious when anyone is applying the Bible and tells me the Bible's all about whatever, because I think it's about a lot of things. I don't think we should pretend it says things it doesn't just because we want a book handy that agrees with us.